Okay, today is Wednesday, November 30th, Erev Rosh Chodesh Kislev. This is the Women's Chumash Shir. We're up to Bereshit, Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk, Dalet and Hey. Okay, Rabotai. I want to dedicate this year in memory of Yaakov Ben Yisrael, Suri Kamenetsky's father, who I knew not terribly well, but I knew him in Borough Park, who was at a time when you didn't need a mashgiach to buy in a store. You trusted the owner that whatever he served was kosher, and certainly Mr. Hochberg had a stellar reputation throughout Borough Park, that's for sure. And Yehi Zichro Baruch, and he should only continue to have nachas from his children and grandchildren. And great-grandchildren, right. Great, great, great. Oh, noch besser. Oh, right, right. Yes. Okay, we are up to Bereshit Perek Yud Bet, the beginning of Lech Lecha, Pasuk Dalet and Hey. Hey and Vav. Pasuk Hey and Vav. So, the Torah reports Vayikach Avram et Sarai Ishto, ve'et Lot ben Achiv, ve'et Kol Rechusham Asher Rachashu, ve'et HaNefesh Asher Asu B'Charan, vayitzu lolechet Arza Kena'an, vayavo'u Arza Kena'an. From a sharp point of view, there's nothing to discuss, at least at first blush. It says that Avram took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot, and everything that he had amassed, their material belongings, ve'et ha'nefesh asher asu b'charan. We'll see what the simple pshat is and what Rashi operates based on the Targum, a famous Rash. Ve'yetzu lalechet Arza Kanan. They started their trek to Eretz Kanan. Vayavo Arza Kanan. And they came to Kanan. What could be terribly difficult about such a pasuk? What? No? Where did it say that they went to Eretz Kanan? Right, it didn't say it. It did not say in the previous pasuk that his wife went with him. That is correct. That's good. 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 That's also a good question. But there are several questions from a textual point of view which we should focus on. Number one is, if I were to ask you in the first three psukim, which we've spent four shiurim on already, has HaKadosh Baruch ever identified where Avram is going?
No.
What was the whole emphasis in Pasuk Aleph of this parak? El Haaretz Arareka. Okay? How did he know it was Eretz Kanan?
They were on their way.
Oh.
They were on their way. They stopped in Haran, but they were really on their way to
the Okay. Place. So if you assume that this initial trip was already told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Avram's family, and Terach led the brigade, so the whole command was initiated by Terach. We saw a perspective. The Ramban entertained such an opinion, if you remember correctly. And then there's no surprises. Terach already planned to go to Eretz Canaan, but he got stuck in Haran for some strange reason. We don't know why he got stuck in Haran. And Avram is told, you know what? I don't want you to remain with your father's house any longer. I want you to continue going. If that is the case, and you are correct, then what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu playing a little game? El Haaretz Asher Areka. I mean, he already told him at the end of chapter 11 where he's going. It says, Vayavo Lolechet Arza Kanan. The family's headed to Kanan already. What's happening? You mean to tell me that Terach just arbitrarily decided to go to Canaan, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him, yeah, that's a good place to go to? It's a little strange. Hence, almost everybody rejects that, not every, we saw it inside, that is a possibility. So let's learn like everybody else. the directive to, let's learn like Ibn Ezra, make it the simplest. Ein mukdam u'me'uchar ba'Torah. Right? There is no order to chronology, there's no chronology to the text, to the narrative. So, chapter 12 preceded the end of chapter 11. So why is Terach going to Eretz Canaan? Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram, I want you to go El Ha'aretz Asher Areka. But how did they know it was Eretz Canaan? How did they know? So there is a possibility that somewhere along the road, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Avram and said, Avram, this is it. This is where I want you to. This is where I want you to go. It's possible, but the text doesn't reveal it. But the question which Sfarno asks, and everyone should have asked, is: how did Avram know that Eretz Canaan was his destination? So we will read the Sfarno inside, who says he didn't know. I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you what happened. Read the next pasuk, and then tell me what do you think happened. In fact, read the next two pasukim so you can anticipate what Sfarno is going to say. Read the next two pasukim. Why should I tell it to you? You figure it out yourself. Much greater challenge. What?
It wasn't called Canaan. The Canaanim lived there, but it was...
Okay, but we know it as Eretz Canaan.
Isn't there an opinion that they had been there once before in Eretz Canaan?
Don't know. I doesn't say that anywhere. Does not it? No, bring some sentence later.
Yeah,
you could say that, but you can't say that. Ibn Ezra can say that. I can't say it. You can't say that. Yeah.
Maybe it was just known to be a place that was already inhabited. And
by whom? By whom? What? So what's the great attraction?
By Terach also. Maybe that's why he was heading there.
You were on. I thought you were hitting it. Then you fell down a cliff. Fell off a cliff. So some say that Eretz Canaan was already known as a spiritual land. It had a reputation amongst all nations that this was a country in which you can pursue spiritual growth and development. I'll show it to you inside in a second. That's how some say, that's why he gravitated there.
So why did Terach want to go there, though?
Because he's now reforming. Okay. We presented that, remember?
Okay.
That's why the Torah gives him credit for having led the mission. I told you to name it in the Rav, yeah.
Why did it such a big outlook to marry anyone from Canaan?
What?
Why did Hashem say to Avram, no, you should not marry anybody from Canaan?
Why?
Yeah, I mean, it's so great.
Okay, that's a good question. It's a good question. So I'm just telling you, someone's going to say it. So did you look at the next? No one has brought me anything from the next two psukim. Why did I ask? I didn't tell you to read it to waste time. It says in the next pasuk, "Vayavor Avram ba'aretz ad mikom Shechem ad Elon Moreh." Skip the Haknani Osbart for a second. "Vayera Hashem el Avram vayomer." So tell me what happened.
Why should I feel like they came?
Don't.
Meaning, he says you're going to be tested. Go. He says, "Where's the ram going to be?"
Right.
He says, "Go up there and I'll make it happen." And then he thinks he's sacrificing Yitzhak. Here he's just saying, go,
and
then I'll show you when you get there.
Ah! Says Sfarno, we'll read it inside. The Torah reports like every step along the way. He came to Eretz Canaan, but God still didn't reveal anything yet. Vayavor Avram Ba'aretz. I'm reading Pasuk. Avram travels. Where does he reach? Ad Mekom Shechem. Shechem is not on the northern or southern tip of Israel. Where is Shechem?
In the middle.
Avram happens to be going southward from the. He's entering from the north. That we know for a fact. So if the first place if he comes to Eretz Canaan, he's going to come to Ramat HaGolan, something like that. He's going to be in the north somewhere, in the Galil. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have reported to him in Haifa, someplace like that. But where does he come to him? In Shechem. Vayera, that's the first. So Avram, as he is in Eretz Canaan, he's just wandering through it as if it would be India, China. I have no idea where I'm going. I'm just walking. It just happens to be that it was in Eretz Canaan. When he's in the middle of Eretz Canaan, in Shechem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him for the second time and says, L'zaracha etein et ha'aretz hazot. So now he knows that what? Eretz Canaan is the right place. That up until now he had no clue where he was going. He happened to have drifted. He decided to pursue a southerly route. He came to Eretz Canaan. He entered Eretz Canaan at the north. He still had no idea where he was or whether this is with the land Ha'aretz Asher Areka. When he reaches the city of Shechem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him and says, this is where your the command or the promise ve'e'escha utcha l'goy gadol is going to be fulfilled cause ki l'zaracha etena aretz hazot. That's how, and that's the most logical based on the sequence of how the psukim presented. That's the most logical. So take a look at Sfarno. It's on page page number 2. That's Vayavo Arta Canaan.
Yeah, but here it says like Vayavo Arta.
Right.
So there's a difference in that. In other words, he fulfills the ultimate.
That is correct.
That's why he's given, that's why Kaddish Baruch Hu
now reveals himself. Right. He didn't reveal himself in Haran because that wasn't the destination.
Right.
So Sparno says, why does the Torah tell me Vaya Avor Avramba? He crossed the land. Well, of course he crossed the land. If he was in it, he crossed the land. Says Svarn, Lo hit akev b'makom mimena, at shenira elav ha'el yitbarach. He masa lehit akev to stay. He did not have an extended stay at any location because what was he waiting for? Confirmation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he spent the night here, nothing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Time to move on to the next Motel 6. And they left the light on for him. Kasha Ya'ado Be'amro El Ha'aretz Asher Areka. He's waiting for some signal from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that indeed is the land that he promised him. When he finally gets to Shechem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides, I will let him know in Shechem. There's got to be some significance why the information is confirmed only in the city of Shechem. Today, politicians don't want to hear it. But there's got to be some significance why it had to be Shechem. We'll see in a second what exactly might be the significance. That's number one, which the Sfarno makes. Point number two is a comment made by Kli Yakar. I'm sorry, I apologize I didn't photostat it for you. But he has an interesting observation. What he says is nothing further from the pshat. It's nothing to do with the pshat, but it's an interesting observation. If you look at the way the Torah describes Terach's launching of this particular mission. So, if you go back to Perek Yud Aleph, and assume that Terach is in on this plan, so it's Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Read the first half of the Pasuk, and then read our Pasuk. Pasuk Hey, Perek Yibet, Pasuk Hey. What fundamental difference is there between the two presentations? It's striking. Now, I know it's Terah. I didn't have to ask you it's Terah. What other difference is there? Yes. I said in the first half of the Pasuk, just in terms of who he's taking. Ah! And at the in your Perek Yud Aleph, where is Sarai? At the end. Who is in between? Lot. What a strange way of presenting it. Terach takes his what? His son Avraham. Avraham. Then he takes his nephew. Then he takes his daughter-in-law.
She's a grandson. She didn't want to go.
And why in our pasuk does it say it the regular way? Okay, good. That might be the simple pshat, no doubt. Here it's Avram. See, he's first concerned about his wife Sarai than he is about Lo. Terach, okay, yeah. You think that Terach treated his daughter-in-law that way? Yeah? Okay. Okay, good. We can say, I'm just alerting you to what the so the Kli Yakar makes the following bold statement. I don't know if he's... it's got nothing to do with the... He just says, and that's what he's reacting to. He says that the Torah reports at the end of Perek 11, Vatehi Sarai Akara Ein Lavlad. She did not have a child. We know that. And he claims that Avram and Sarai separated. He did not have relations with his wife Sarai once he understood that she was barren and akara, reaching old age. There'd be no reason to have relations with her again. However, and the Torah hints this by telling us, by putting someone in between Avram and Sarai. Vayikach Avram ve'et Lot ve'et Sarai ishto. However, after... I didn't say it says...
No, it says Sarai Kalat.
Kalat, his daughter-in-law, okay. Okay.
Yeah,
but in order to be a Kalato, you have to be a daughter-in-law. From his vantage point, it's not his wife, it's his daughter-in-law. You have to be married to be a daughter-in-law.
Now, for the pasuk before, in Chavtet, it says Eshet Avram Sarai.
Correct, because the...
So in other words, there is a change in Kalat.
I hear that. Here, what brought about the change? The fact that God told Avraham, you're going to have plenty of children. He's hoping that who is he going to be building that family with? Not Hagar, but with Sarah. Therefore, he reestablishes a relationship together with Sarai. And the Torah tells us that Vayikach Avram et Sarai Ishto. What happens to be the biblical expression of engagement in the Torah? Ki yikach ish isha. And there are several psukim in the Torah in which this particular phrase appears. Several psukim. Vayikach, in the beginning of chapter 2, I think it is, of Sefer Shemot. Look up to Perek Vet of Sefer Shemot. Bet Aleph, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Vayikach ish mi Beit Levi. Vayikach at Bat Levi. That's what it means, getting married, establishing a family relationship. So that's the expression. I'm just telling you that for the Kliyaka. It's not the Pshat, but it's an idea. It's an idea. Yes. No, but there, who did the taking? Terach. Terach. And there obviously doesn't mean marriage. But here the Torah emphasizes, Vayikach, even though it already said in Pasuk Dalet that Avram left already. In fact, the whole phrase is repetitive. Once it says in the previous Pasuk, Vayelech Avram kasher diber elav Hashem, obviously Vayikach Avram. What the whole Pasuk is superfluous. And this idea, the idea itself of Kliyaka, shouldn't be so far-fetched. If you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, the Rambam has a long statement saying that people who are holy people should recognize that primarily having marital relations is for the purpose of having children, and otherwise one should not be found with their spouse like a chicken. That's what he writes. Constantly having, that's what the Rambam writes, and it's a mentality that we're not always comfortable hearing, but the Kli Yakar just echoed that. Let's move on. Let's move on. Yes.
Are you saying that Terach decided to go to Canaan because of the directive of Hashem?
That's what someone had reported.
But he tells Abraham to go away from his father's house.
That's so correct. That's when they're stuck in Haran. They're stuck in Haran. God knows that Haran is that Terach ain't going any further, and he tells him, "Separate yourself even further, me'artzecha umi moladetecha, and now even mi beit avicha." Yeah. Let's now take a look at Rashi, and I'll tell you to look at the Targum as well, and a ton of the Be'elio. Rashi pasukei. Everybody knows this Rashi. Ve'et ha'nefesh asher asu b'charan. Says Rashi, who are these people who we made in Charan? Shehechnisan tachat kanfei hashchina. That he brought under the wings of God. In other words, he influenced them to accept a single deity. Avraham migayeret ha'anashim, v'sara migayeret ha'anashim. Avram converted the men, women were converted by Sarah. Uma'ale aleim hakatuv ki'ilu as'um. The Torah considered as if they actually fashioned or gave birth to them, because if kol hamilamed et ben chaveiro Torah ki'ilu yolda. If you teach your friend's son or daughter Torah, it's as if you've given birth to them. Fine. Now Rashi knows this is a medrash. Upshuto shel mikra, avadim ushvachot shekanu lahem. Refers to, what is the nefesh? It means the slaves, both male and female, which they purchased. And the word asa is used frequently in Tanakh for legal acquisition. As it says, asa et kol hakavod hazeh. Asa. Yaakov is talking that during his 20 years, what did he amass? Enormous wealth. It doesn't say kaniti, it says asa. Or v'Yisrael oseh chayil lashon koneh v'kones. It means an expression of acquisition, gathering enormous wealth. That's the simple pshat v'es ha'nefesh asher asu b'charan. What prompted Rashi to lead with the midrash? Normally you would expect somebody, first I'll tell you the simple pshat, then I'll give you the drash. But Rashi here starts, he does that often, a lot of times, but usually he starts with the pshat, then he says, Umidrash Agadah, here's it. Why is he so enamored with the Medrash? Because the Targum Onkelos interpreted it that way. I bracketed the Targum for you, unless you have it right there in your Chumash, but it's on page number 1. Take a look at the Targum. Udvar Avram yat Sarai itse. Avram took Sarai, his wife, v'yas lot barochoi, and as well as Not, his nephew, v'yat kol kinyan hon dikno, and everything that they owned and purchased, v'yat nafshata deshabidu le'oraita b'charan. And all of the people who became indebted or shabito, almost enslaved to Torah, where did he make these people? In the city of Haran. And on the bottom of the page, on the right hand side, I bracketed Chizkuni, who echoes the Tana de Be'er Eliyahu. That's a brighter. So that's already a early 2nd century statement. Amru Raboseinu, Amrina Bishmatin de Tana de Be'er Eliyahu, Kan Matchil Matan Torah. This is the first exhibition of what? Of a transference of the Torah from person A to person B. V'hatargum ra'aya. And Targum Onkelos's translation is proof that this is what's happening here. That's why Rashi led with the Midrash And then I'll tell you what the simple pshat is. Because he saw the Targum, and Rashi often is influenced by Targum Mokalis, who preceded him by 1,000 years. So if that was already accepted as the interpretation 1,000 years ago, so Rashi decides to lead with it over and beyond what he considers and knows is only a midrash and not the pshat. I should have brought to you the Rav's flowery language about what compelled Avraham to reach out to other people. And it is so true. It's such a beautiful description. And it's like the Rav talking about himself, never about talking himself, said, a teacher cannot contain knowledge for him or herself. When you acquire knowledge about something, you have such a desire, a burning desire, to share it with others, that it was impossible for Avraham to simply, having discovered God, and then go to his little cloys in the Beis Medrash, go to his little room, lock himself up, and that's it. No. He found this need, this compelling need, to share his discovery about one God with anybody he came in contact with. And we as students were always amazed by that, you know, that's the way the Rav was. He could have sat and learned lots of things. But every day of the week, including the summer, he wanted to teach. Every single day of the week. It was just unbelievable. You know, even in the 70s and early 80s, you know, he'd fly in from Boston on Tuesday morning, give a 3-hour share. 3 hours. Tuesday night, Congregation Moriah, Midtown, 80th Street and Broadway, out 2-hour share to Balabatim, anybody would come. A Gemara share, 1/2 hour Chumash. Always on last week's Parsha. I'm never going to feed you your drusha for this Shabbos. You want to remember it for next year? Fine. I'll talk about last week's Parsha. Every time. Yontav, before Yontav, we talk about Yontav. Then he gave a share Wednesday and Thursday, flew back to Boston. Saturday night, he had a Chumash share for all the collegiates in Maimonides. Anybody wanted to come, hundreds of collegiates would come from Harvard, from MIT, to a Saturday night share. Sunday night at a Gemara share for the Baal Batim in Maimonides. And a whole summer, even when his wife was alive, he had a summer resort in Onset. He invited students to come and learn. So he, instead of just sitting and learning, he can give share. And when his wife died, he didn't go to Onset. He did it at Maimonides a whole summer. And at the end of every summer, I went for 12 straight years, he had a Yarchei Kala. Just 3 days of intensive shiurim all day, literally all day, on a topic for Yontif. It was just unbelievable. And I saw what he said, because teaching is the greatest chesed you can possibly do. There are people who by nature, people are seated right here, by nature, they like to help people. Anytime there's they look for helping opportunities. Somebody who has something to offer looks for opportunities to teach and share that knowledge, and that was Avraham's. So Avraham is associated with chesed, not only because he was a machnas oreach, but because he always wanted to share his learning, and that's what's being echoed here by Targum Onkelos, Nafshana, the Meshubad Le'oraisa, in the city of Haran. And I know exactly what he's talking about. I know exactly what he's talking about. Good. That is Rashi. That's Rashi. Then, that's what Rashi says. Yeah. Then let's continue with Rashi on Pasuk Vav. Vayavor Avram ba'aretz ad mekom Shechem ad Elon Moreh v'haknani oz ba'aretz. So there are two places that are identified here. Shechem and Elon Moreh. So let's take a look at Rashi. Vayavor Avram ba'aretz says Rashi, Nichnas litocha. Nichnas litocha. What does that mean? He entered it. Christ a chiddush. Oh, what a chiddush.
But doesn't the Torah say that he
As opposed to what? Oh, okay. So for some reason, Rashi believes, as opposed to what we just read in Sfarno, that the reason why he stops in Shechem is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu confirmed for him that what? This is the place. That's not what Rashi is going to say. Rashi is saying, Vayavor Avram Ba'aretz would mean that what? That I'm just passing by. But for some reason he decided to stop here. Let's see what reason Rashi will give. Ad Mekom Shechem, not because he knew that this was the confirmation place. No. Why? Lihit Palel al Bnei Yaakov kishi yavau lahilachem b'shechem. Why does he decide to do so? Because he wants to offer a prayer on behalf of Yaakov's children who are going to be engaged in a battle with Shechem, as is described in Parshas Vayishlach, when Dina will be taken captive. That's what Rashi says.
He thinks that Avram was a
Nevi. What?
He thinks that Avram was
also a Nevi. Okay, excellent question. Did Avram have any glance about that? If he did, what other promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teru to Lisa Pifluis? That you're going to have lots of children. You're telling me I'm going to have lots of children? I know he's going to have lots of children. I know that they're going to be fighting in Shechem already. It's very difficult to assume. So I want to read with you a Ramban, one of the most fundamental Rambans in Sefer Bereishis. You don't have to agree with him, but the Ramban said it. And if the Ramban said it, we have to take it seriously. We must take it seriously. Take a look at page number 2. The Holy Ramban. Says the Ramban, Vaya'avor Avram Ba'aretz ad Mekom Shechem. Omer Licha Klal, I'm going to share with you a rule, Tavin Oto, Bechol HaParshiyot HaBa'ot, Be'inyan Avraham V'Yitzchak V'Yaakov. I want you to apply this rule in all of Sefer Bereishis to every single event that the Torah will describe about Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Vehu inyan gadol, and this is a significant matter, hiskiruhu rabotenu b'derech tzara, the rabbis alluded to it in brief fashion, v'amru, what did they say? Kol ma she'ira le'avot siman lebanim. Whatever happened to the forefathers happened to the children. V'lachein ya'arichu haktuvim b'sipur hamasaot v'chafirat habe'erot u'sha'ar mikrim. Ramban is asking a fundamental question. Avraham lived 175 years. Yitzchak lived 180 years. There are 5 episodes which the Torah describes about Avraham, 3 or 4 about Yitzchak, and half a dozen about Yaakov. Dos alles? Nothing else happened during Avraham's 175 other than these 4 events? That he went here, he went there, he came to Mitzrayim, he met Avimelech, that's it? Nothing else happened? And if there were other events, which we assume other things did happen, why doesn't the Torah record any of them?
Because they don't have any significant
Correct. Says the Ramban, the Torah shares with us episodes that are going to be repeated sometime in history by the children of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Those are the only events that are recorded by the Torah in relationship to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And it is our challenge, sometimes it's not as abundantly evident as we think, sometimes it's black and blue in the text. Black and blue. So when you're dealing with Shechem, I don't have to be a world-class genius to figure out, oh, I know why he's telling us that he's going to Shechem. Avraham has no clue why he's going to Shechem. None whatsoever. He didn't get any direct information from God. He didn't know anything happened. The Torah is reporting it that he happens to be in Shechem. Why? That's because there's an event that's going to take place, a significant event that's going to take place in the city of Shechem. That's why. And it's the Torah that's foreshadowing of the event, not Avram's awareness, and not that necessarily pray to. Why would he pray in the city of Shechem about an event he has no clue is going to happen? He has no idea. So the Ramban says, the Torah elaborates, listen to this, V'yachshov hachoshev bahem, and people who sit and think and analyze these events, ki'ilu heim divarim miyutarim, they're totally superfluous, ein bahem toelet. What big information is being conveyed to me that Avram dug wells? Nice. If I was there, I would also dig a well, because how else are you going to get water unless you dig a well? What's the big deal? Ah, but Yitzchak's going to have the same issue. And then some other generation's going to have the same issue. V'kulam ba'im lilameid al he'atid. Every single episode is designed to teach you about something that will happen in the future. Ka'asher yavo hamikre linavi. It's as if, what? A Navi got it, forewarned of information. Avraham didn't get any information. But the Torah's reporting of it should be construed in our minds as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Avraham and said, hey, your great-granddaughter, Dina, is going to get into a lot of trouble in the city of Shechem. You better pray for her. That all of these mishloshet hava yitbonen mimeno hadavar hanigzar lavo lezaro, that something has already been decreed to what? To happen to your children. Now this is a very, very powerful statement of the Ramban. Oh, this is Avram. It's already been predetermined that his great-granddaughter, Dina, is going to have an episode in the city of Shechem. That's not fair. That's not fair. When we will learn Parshas Vayetze, and the Torah says, Vateitze Dina, Rashi's opening comment will be, Yatzanit Haita. This is not predetermined. Why does Dina get in trouble? Because she was overshadowed by 12 boys. And she didn't get much attention in the house, apparently. Probably didn't get much attention. And she wanted to see what's doing elsewhere. Yatz anit. She wanted to survey what's doing in town. And she went looking to see from herself some excitement. That's how Rashi interprets it. Then we have a right to assess and analyze her behavior. If it's been predetermined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, it's a little difficult to assign blame. Dina had no choice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is going to happen. It's a troubling point. Just be alert. I don't have an answer for it. You know, it's the standard philosophy 101 question. You know, predetermined, do we really have free choice? So, you know the standard answers to that. But here it's so exaggerated. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going to happen 5 minutes before. This is four generations before.
So would Rashi say that every place that it says Vaya Abor Avram, he was stopping there to be Mithalel?
You bet. That is correct. Rashi all along the line is going to identify as Avram comes to a place, he knows something happening here, if he's getting off his donkey and going to say a few prayers. That is correct. That's Rashi's thought. Much more localized. Not looking at it.
Right.
Yes.
But does it have to say by La'avor
Avram? No, but La'avor is used elsewhere as tefillah. It is used. Now Rashi's also going to refer to another event that will take place in the city of Shechem. Ad Shechem, ad mekom elon moreh. Says Rashi in the word elon moreh. Who? Shechem. That happens to be a nickname for the city of Shechem. Hereyu har gerizim v'har eval shisham kiblu Yisrael alehem shivuat haTorah. In the city of Shechem, there are two mountains, Har Gerizim and Har Eval. Anybody ever been there? You can go on Har Gerizim and Har Eval. When the tour goes to Shechem, apparently they take people take there. So the Torah reports it in Parshat Ki Tavo that God told Moshe to convey to Yehoshua that when you get to Har Gerizim and Har Eval, six tribes are to go on Har Gerizim, six tribes are to go on Har Eval, and to take a Shvuat HaTorah, a new Kritut Brit. A new Kritut Brit. A new forming of the covenant. And the reason why a second forming of the covenant was required was because the original covenant at Sinai makes no reference to Eretz Yisrael whatsoever. And it's deliberately done. Why? Because the Torah is not dependent upon Eretz Yisrael. We are obligated to observe and abide by Torah law whether we live in Eretz Yisrael or in Galut. Even though that is a major discussion amongst Parshanim. I can show you a Ramban in several locations where the Ramban echoes the idea that the only true commitment, fulfillment of a mitzvah is in Eretz Yisrael. The only reason why you do a mitzvah is to practice. So we shouldn't be out of practice for 2,000 years. But the only real commitments in Eretz is Sifri. He's quoting a Medrash Halacha, Sifri. But anyhow, Bris Sinai didn't include Eretz Yisrael. So when they get into Eretz Yisrael, they now have to take another Krisus Bris, another Brit, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which concludes with the final one, Arur, or Baruch, Asher Lo Yakim et Divrei HaTorah Hazot, or Baruch, Asher Yakim et Divrei HaTorah. Blessed shall be the one who fulfills this Torah. Cursed is the one who shall not. That this covenant now includes for eternity, UN, for eternity, our connection to Eretz Yisrael. Our connection to Eretz Yisrael. Oh, just 1 second. Our connection. And indeed, as Rav Kook has pointed out, there are 284 mitzvot of the 613 that hinge on Eretz Yisrael. 284. Which have no application, at least on a d'oraita level, in Chutz La'aretz. That's a lot of mitzvot. A little over a third of the mitzvot are limited, almost 38 to almost 40% of mitzvot are limited only to Eretz Yisrael. It's a lot of mitzvot. Yeah, yeah.
Is Rashi or... Are they being sensitive to the word
Moreh? That's a good point. Rashi is not, but others say that's why it's called a lone Moreh. Because there's going to be teaching of Torah there. That's why it was called a lone Moreh. That's what some say. Good point. Good point.
Also, it could have said he a lone Moreh instead of... It says Ab twice.
I know. Yeah. Could have said that, yes. No, yeah, could have, no doubt. Now, not everybody agrees with Rashi. If you take a look at page number 2, I didn't bracket it for you, but you should take a look at it anyhow. On the left-hand side of the page, you have the Radak. It says, Vayavar Avram, Ad Mekom Shechem, Ad Ratzon Olomar, Ad Givul Shechem. He didn't enter the city at all, based on the first statement. Where did he reach? The boundary, the border. Ulai Eila Hamekomot Shezachar, Heim Behikanes Adam LeEretz Kanaan, Bivao Mecharan. Uba at Shechem, vayeshev sham, va'achar kein ad elon moreh. Ad elon moreh. So Radak does not believe that elon moreh is what? Shechem. Two separate places. It's not the same place. It's not the same place. He just continued to travel on. He reached Shechem, then he reached what? Elon moreh. Then he reached Elon Moreh. And many point out, do not confuse Elone Mamre with Elone Moreh. The Torah reports in Parshas Vayera that Yaakov, that Avraham was be'elonei mamre. Right? Vayera Hashem Elonei be'elonei mamre. And Vehu Yoshebes, do not confuse the two. Even though many Parshanim think it's identical. Mamre and Moreh, both the same. And the reason why they say it's the same is because they see the two sides of the coin of what took place at Har Gerizim. At Har Gerizim and Har Eival. Moreh, as somebody who pointed out Moreh teaching, Shari, that if you accept the teaching, what are you going to do? You're going to observe it. And if you choose to reject it, what are you? You're a rebel. Mamreh, which means to rebel. Like a Zakein Mamreh, we call the person, a rebellious elder of the Sanhedrin, somebody who acts against the Sanhedrin. So the reason why it's called Mamre and Moreh are the same, they're really two sides of the coin. You had the choice to agree with the six tribes of, you didn't have a choice, but those were just alerting you. Six tribes of Bracha, who said Baruch will do X, Y, and Z, and Arur, we will be, you know, cursed for those who don't. It's interesting that the Torah only reports the Arurs, doesn't tell us about the Baruchs. It's funny that if I had the choice to list only one, somebody with a little psychological background would have said, list the positive, why have to do the negative? Right?
Assume the positive.
But what?
Assume the positive.
Uh-huh, okay. But in reality, the only thing that works is fear. That's it. You got to curse you. That's all. I have to promise you that you do the right thing, that doesn't work anything. You instill some fear in them. Curse them. You're cursed. If you don't do it, you're cursed. That's the only way to do it. Yeah. Says, yeah. Okay, there are a couple of more in the Medrash that I wanted to look at. Yeah, just take a look at page number 3 for 1 second. On page 3, on the bottom of the page. It's number 7. It's from Bereishis Rabbah. Vayavor Avram Ba'aretz. Before he says, the line before it says, what Rashi said, Kol mi shemekarevet hagoy ki'ilu bira'o. Anybody who welcomes a Gentile and convinces him to accept monotheism, it's as if you created him. The next pasuk is, Vaya'avor Avram Ba'aretz ad mekom Shechem v'aknani ha'aretz. Ad achshav nitbakesh lohem zechut ba'aretz. Ad achshav nitbakesh lohem zechut ba'aretz. Anybody want to take a stab at that powerful line of the Medrash? Excellent. No, that's not the point.
Avram wasn't worthy yet.
What now convinced HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he is worthy? He's exactly Hanefesh Asher Asu B'Charan. The fact that he reached out, tried to share his message. Ooh, nice, Avram. I like that. Now I'm going to tell you, Lazaracha Etein Et Haaretz Hazot. So the proximity of Pasuk Hey and Pasuk Vav, that Ve'et HaNefesh Asher Asu B'Charan Vaya'avor Avram Ba'aretz, is on account of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was tracing Avram's movements and looking to see whether or not he is worthy or not of having the promises fulfilled. Until this point, he did not feel he was worthy enough. As soon as he saw that he engaged in this type of behavior, then automatically, Kacha Omer HaMidrash. Ad achshav nitbakesh lohem zechut ba'aretz. And then it finally came, next pasuk, Vayomer Avram l'Zarecha etan ha'aretz hazot. That's number one, which the Medrash says.
How did it affect him when he lost all his souls?
What?
They were left.
We don't know what happened to them. I mentioned to you that the Ramban said, holchu, they left. Not everybody agrees. The Torah doesn't tell us about them because it's not terribly relevant any longer. But one, I would imagine a fair share decided to, you know, go back to their old ways, and a fair share decided to remain loyal to him, but in their own communities. But we just have no information whatsoever.
It was after the war with the five kings, so that might have...
That may have affected something, yes. Right? Alright, we'll stop here. There will not be a shiur next week. It's going to be in Israel at a bar mitzvah.